Talk about why do people fall under the power of the Holy Ghost? We see people go out under the power, but we need to know. Look at somebody and say, why do people fall out?
Why do people fall out?
And you know some people need to be knocked out.
Amen.
You know some people need to be knocked out. There are some situations that the Holy Ghost needs to get a hold of us and just knock us out of those situations.
Amen.
Now, the area that we focus on is what we can expect. Preach what you need. So usually on Friday night, we'll be preaching in things in reference to the Holy Ghost. So that we can focus in on that because we want to see God in full manifestation this year. So we got to be very sensitive to the Holy Ghost in these meetings. Is that all right if we learn some of those things? How to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and not grieve the Spirit of God? This is not an ordinary church service. This is one where you invite the Holy Ghost to come into the room and manifest Himself. And the more that we learn about Him, the more that we learn to flow together, the stronger the demonstration of the Holy Ghost will be. We need the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I mean, it's not just that we want it. Amen. Guess what? We got to have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the power of God in the earth today. We need power to change some things and to do some things. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost that is the power of God. It's the Holy Ghost that gets the job done today. And I think you need a day or a night or a service that you focus on getting something done. Amen. Somebody say, I'm going to hook up to the power of God, and something's going to change. Hallelujah. We need something to change. Glory to God. But it said that electricity is power in the natural realm. But it's the Holy Ghost that's the power in the realm of the Spirit. There is a realm of the Spirit, but there's also a realm in the natural. Anybody ever had your lights cut off? Amen. You got to have power to see and to do some things. Certain things don't work when you don't turn on the power. Amen. Certain things just don't work when you don't turn on the power. You might have a healing machine in the spirit realm. Do you know what? If the power's not on, that healing machine won't work. You might have a coffee maker in your house, amen? But if there's no electricity in that house, I don't care how you plug it up, amen? I don't care how many times you hit the switch, guess what? You're not going to get no coffee.
Right.
There has got to be power on.
Amen.
It's the Holy Ghost that empowers our salvation. We have promises from God. Did you know that? That we have promises from God, that the Scripture promises certain things, and certain things that the Scripture promises is healing. Prosperity. We get deliverance from hell, deliverance from demonic powers. Amen. We get deliverance from depression. Somebody say, glory to God. We have covenant promises. We have peace in our mind. When things want to stress us out, we have covenant promises. There are all these utilities within your spirit. Did you know that? You got a house that your house that your spirit is that literally the house of God, and you are completely equipped. You got all kinds of appliances in the kitchen of your spirit. You've got a coffee maker. You've got cappuccino makers. Amen. You've got whatever you need to get your cake baked. And you say, why don't I have it? You got to have the power on for those things to work. So I say,
turn on the power.
Now our sister tonight quoted a scripture. She said, my God, amen, shall supply all of my need according to His riches. See, a lot of people want to leave it off. They say, my God will supply all my need, but they don't forget. They forget the other stuff that goes over there. It said His riches, but His riches are in the realm of glory. Maybe when our needs aren't getting met to the fullest degree of its manifestation, amen, maybe we're not in the glory enough. Somebody say, you might need to turn up the current a little bit. Yeah, God wants to do some things in Nations Church. Why didn't it happen? The devil's no. No, we need some more current. We need some more power. We need some more anointing, amen, that comes only by prayer, amen. I mean, you can look at the television all you want to. You're going to get a black screen, but until you plug it into the wall and turn the thing on, you're not going to see anything. And some of you are looking at your promises in the realm of the Spirit, amen, and wondering why nothing's happening to it. There is nothing connected. There is power. Your God will supply that need you have, no matter what the need is. Somebody say, I don't care what the need is. God is already supplying it. But you got to turn on the power of God. You got to turn on the anointing of the Holy Ghost to get the job done. Turn the power on. It works by the Holy Ghost. So it says that electricity is power in the natural realm, but it is the Holy Ghost that's power in the spiritual realm. Woo! You're about to grab a hold of the power of God. Amen. Do you know that the thing the Bible says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? My Lord, some people wonder why they're powerless. They don't got no power in the Spirit. Amen. No power in the Spirit. And they've been praying those things. You better get the power on the Spirit so that you have power in the natural realm. Now it says this. When the natural realm comes into contact with the supernatural realm, something has got to give. We want to have an example. We want to demonstrate something. I went and cut the cords off of one of a piece of equipment around here, and I'm going to plug that cord into the wall. Amen. And I'm going to wet somebody's finger. Amen. And I want you to hold that cord. Amen. And I want to see what happens. What's wrong with this little light socket here? What you afraid of? I mean, what are you afraid of? You can't see anything coming out of that. Can you hear it? Is it making any threats to you? Does it look big, bad, and strong? It's just a little cord, isn't it? Why don't you want to plug up into it? Huh? Go on and stick your finger in it. See, people don't understand it. There are some things that you can't see. There's some things that you can't hear. But by the glory of God, you can feel it. It's the same way with the Holy Ghost. You not might be able to see the Holy Ghost at times. You might not be able to hear the Holy Ghost. But boy, if you get a hold of the Holy Ghost, somebody say, glory to God. Glory. Say, just because I can't see him in the room. Doesn't mean there's not enough power for it to put me on my behind. Well, it's the same thing with electricity. I mean, it's all quiet. Amen. I mean, you can get a little radio and touch it the wrong way. It'll knock you out. Well, it's the same thing with the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing with the Holy Ghost. It is unseen but felt. When the natural comes in contact with the supernatural, something has to give. And one of the things that happens when people get into the realm of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, amen, they get a hold of the Holy Ghost, and they get into the realm of the Spirit, and all of a sudden they come into contact with God. They go out under the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, slain in the power of the Holy Ghost. Why do people fall under the power? Why does people's hair stand on top of their head when they put their finger in the light socket? Something's got to give. There's power. We cannot see the Holy Spirit any more than we can see the wind. But we see the results of the wind. You can't see the Holy Ghost at all times, but when he's really moving, you can see the results of the Holy Ghost in manifestation. Amen. God does some things in this sense so people can see the Holy Ghost. He demonstrates his power to let people know that he is at work. God will demonstrate his power to let people know that he is at work. John chapter 18, verse 1. When he had finished praying, Jesus left his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was an olive grove. And he said to his disciples, Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Now Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it that you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. And Jesus turned around and looked at them and said, "I am he." And Judas the traitor was standing there with him. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. When God shows up and he says who he is, people usually fall down. When you get a revelation of who God is and his power and his majesty, something's going to give. Amen.
Yes.
When God goes up, people go down. Amen.
Yes.
When God goes up, when God is exalted and when God is lifted up, amen, people go down.
Amen.
When we see the demonstration, whenever you hear people talking about Jesus and you see the moves of revival, amen, where the name of Jesus is exalted, you will see demonstrations of people going down under the power. So they fell backwards to the ground. If people fell over backward in the presence of Jesus, then guess what? The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he showed himself back then and people fell out under the power and fell to the ground then, don't you think that they would fall out today? Is the Holy Ghost any less gone than Jesus? Has he lost any power? Has he lost any essence of his glory? Well, guess what? When the Holy Ghost comes into the room and the Holy Ghost moves, amen, people will fall down. Well, someone say, "Well, I guess the Holy Ghost isn't in the midst of the room. Ain't nobody falling down. Ain't nobody falling down. It depends on what room you're in. Do you come in or do you just come in?" So you can come into a room but never enter in. Now listen, when is the Holy Ghost in manifestation and when is the Holy Ghost really there? According to the word in Matthew chapter 18 verse 20, "For where two or three come together," where? "In his name." He said, "There I am with them." If you can get together in the name of Jesus, in the realm of Jesus, if you can get to the place of the Spirit, see, if you can get into Jesus, glory to God. Don't just come to church, but come and get in. Enter into what God is doing. Enter into the flow of the Holy Ghost. Enter into worship. Amen. Put the things of the world behind and get in there. Get into agreement. There might be a whole room, but maybe one or two are in the name of Jesus. Well, the name of Jesus is what? His name is Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ, the anointed one. Amen. Where two or three get into the anointing, somebody say, there he is. Jesus is in the anointing. Glory to God. Get into the anointing when you come to church. Somebody say, all I need is one to agree with me. Hallelujah. All I need is one and Jesus will show up. Somebody say, ain't nothing going on around here. You're in the wrong room. Amen. Somebody say, there are dimensions. There are dimensions of the Spirit. I look at the room and I say, some people just look like they're about toe up in the Spirit of God. And some look like they're off in the junkyard someplace. How? Because you can come in but not come in. You can enter in and you cannot enter in. Worship and praise is all about entering in. It's an opportunity. The Bible says, come into his gates with what? And into his courts with what? Well, that's how you get in. People wonder and say, hey, I'll just come in and let everybody else sing and clap for me. No, that's the key to get into the house where Jesus is. Glory to God. He didn't want you just to come to church or sit in the room. Glory to God. He wants you to come in and unlock the door. Amen. Get that key and turn on thanksgiving and turn on praise. Amen. And enter into the place where Jesus will meet you. Amen. And where God is, your need will get met. Those that worship the Lord, their God, must worship him in what? Spirit and truth. Yes. Well, what's that spirit? Didn't say in Baltimore. Didn't say in the Woodlands. Didn't say at 25700 I-45 North. Didn't say, it said in spirit and in truth. Why does it say spirit and truth? Because there's some people that are in the spirit, but there's no truth in their spirit. So you got to have both of them. See, there are a lot of people that got a lot of spirit, but no word to control that spirit. Amen. Do any old kind of thing. Amen. But you can have the spirit of the Holy Ghost and also the word to govern yourself. Amen. In those meetings. That's why we have Holy Ghost meetings, that we teach the move of the spirit so that you can get over in the spirit, but not get so far that you don't have any truth. So where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is. Somebody said, I got to get to Jesus. Hebrew boys in the fire. We're in the fire. Amen. But all of a sudden they just left the fire. Everybody else was burned up, but they remained. Amen. They weren't burned up and they weren't consumed in the fire. Why? They were worshiping, praising God. They were there, but they weren't there. They were where Jesus was. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. It's not when you want to. When God shows up, people will go down. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. What happened? The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became as dead men. There are certain supernatural things that will make you shake. See, some people are afraid of the devil, but they don't have any fear of the things of God whatsoever. You should believe God and get to the realm of the spirit to where you see something that will just scare you out of your mind and cause you to fall under the powers. So that's the slaying power of the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean you got to be saved to fall under the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be a disciple to fall under the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be supernatural. You don't have to be extremely spiritual. All you got to do is get into contact with the power of God. Amen. You will go down. The best one to fall down are the biggest devils. I've been in some revival meetings where I saw people try to run out the door before they could get out the door, out under the power of the Holy Ghost. Witches, out under the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on. You don't have to be, I mean, it didn't say when Chinese people put their finger in the light socket, they'll go out under the power. Anybody that puts their finger in the power of the Holy Ghost will go down. Amen? Amen. Say, slaying power is for everybody. It's not in the person, amen, it's in the power. You got to be charismatic to fall down. No, you just need to get into contact with God. I've seen people fall down and didn't even know what was happening. What was that? Stop pushing me. Another one, Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Just then there appeared before him Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Look, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up these shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son in whom I'm loved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, what happened? They fell face down to the ground, terrified. See, we get words of prophecy today, you know, and we take them like a grain of salt. I mean, we don't even reverence the Holy Ghost enough now. Word of prophecy goes forth. We used to just shut up and listen to what they had to say. Today, we take that as a bathroom break. Holy Ghost is in manifestation, you know. We don't honor the word. Amen. But hear the word. God spoke from heaven. Amen. And people fell to the ground, face first, terrified. What happens when people reverence the Holy Ghost? We need a demonstration of God. I love to see prophetic words come here and the people take the word so seriously, amen, that just the word in and of itself has enough power to stop you in your tracks. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Fell at the word of God. Fell under the word of God. When revelation comes and people get to the realm where God is speaking, they will go out under the power of the Holy Ghost. Another one, Acts chapter 9, verse 1.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" There are certain people that need to go out under the power of the Holy Ghost because they're going the wrong direction. A good sling of the Holy Ghost can fix that problem. So here you had one person tearing the church up. Somebody say, tear it up. See, I come out of a church, amen. See, we took the slang power of the Holy Ghost seriously. You never knew what was going on, amen. There are certain people that can be in the wrong way. You know that? And God corrects them by putting them out under the Holy Ghost and then talking to them. He'll stop you in your tracks when you reverence God. See, we've made a little tradition out of it, amen. We've been playing games, amen. But you know when you yield yourself to the Holy Ghost and you're around a true anointing of the Holy Ghost, God will stop you in your tracks and put you out and talk to you. I was in a church at about 10 or 11 years old. You know you can't do any big sin at no 10 or 11 years old. But you know not listening to the Holy Ghost is sin. You know just not obeying the Holy Ghost completely is sin, and God will stop that while he has the chance. Well, I knew about the glory of God. I grew up in a church that had the glory of God in manifestation. I knew you didn't play with the glory of God. It was a serious thing, amen. You had to be careful in the presence of the Holy Ghost. And I could sense, I mean, you can hear it sometimes when you're in the meeting. We'll get there, amen. As we learn these things, we study these things, we'll get there. But I would see, I mean, they were singing a song one time in service, and I could tell. I said, oh, Lord. You know, I had to come to church on one of them days where the Lord is moving. Who knows what's going to happen? And you could sense the anointing of the Holy Ghost coming in the room. You could see it on the face. You know that song, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can see his mighty power and his grace. You know, you could see things on people's faces. You can tell. You can tell when the glory of God's in manifestation. Amen. I mean, it will change the countenance of people. And I could look around the room and say, oh, my Lord, God is in this house. I would see God move in the house. It was a very large room, and you could see him moving in the balcony. Then all of a sudden, at an instant in a second, all of a sudden, for no apparent reason at all, they'd all just start dancing. No reason whatsoever. Then over here, they'd stop dancing. Then all of a sudden, all the way on the other side of the room, another group would start dancing. And you never knew what happened. Well, I could tell that the anointing of the Holy Ghost was about to come into the room, that there was about to be a glory experience. But you know what? When you're wrong, when the glory comes down, it'll make you right. Do you know that? See, some people like to be left alone, but the Holy Ghost will confront you of sin, and he will correct you. So I said, I know when it happens, it's going to drop like a bomb in here, but if I can just get out of my seat and take a little bathroom break at this time, 11 years old, I'll be okay. So they started going. You could tell when they started going like this, I said, oh, Lord, here we go. Somebody going to tell me, amen. Anybody ever seen it? You know, it's about to get heavy. See, there were some anointings you could sit through and clap along and dance with, but when it got real thick, you said, oh, God. I mean, somebody might call your number or something, amen. You know, you might get called to the ministry, amen. The Holy Ghost didn't play games. When you don't play games with the Holy Ghost, he won't play games with you. So I tried to get up out of my seat and walk out, and I took about 3 steps, and all of a sudden, bam, to the floor at 11 years old. Knocked me to the floor at 11 years, could not get up off the floor, and I didn't want to be embarrassed. You know, these were city folk. These were city folk, and I was a suburban person. I would clap along, amen, but I'm not going to act ignorant. I'm not going to be falling in and out, amen. We got too much money for that. Amen, I'm going to be sophisticated. I'm not going to be jumping and shouting and acting crazy. Glory to God. I'm there to watch everybody else so I could tell everybody what happened. I took about 3 steps and pow, there I go. Nobody tripped me, and I was on the floor, but in my right mind. See, sometimes you can go out under the power of God and still have your mind wide awake. I'm out under the power of my body doing one thing, my spirit doing another thing, amen, my head saying, what are you doing? Get up off the floor, boy, before somebody sees you. So I tried to get up off the floor, but I could only crawl. If I tried to push up, I could only go forward. And the thing that I tried to avoid was being seen. Amen. The more I resisted it, the more seen I became. 11 years old, making a fool of myself. Do you know where I ended up? I ended up on the front in the middle of that mess, amen, in the front of the church, amen, in front of the preacher, couldn't get up off the floor, amen, crawled all the way to the front. Do you know the Holy Ghost will do that if you let him? There are certain times when the Holy Ghost comes and you think you want to get blessed, you just want to get a tickle. Boy, you need to go out under the power of the Holy Ghost and have some surgery done. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Some of you really need a good old dose of the Holy Ghost. I mean, he don't want to play hopscotch with you, glory to God. He wants to get that mess out of you, amen. Bam! You need a dose of the Holy Ghost. Well, Paul had a dose of the Holy Ghost. He thought he was doing God's will. He thought he had it all together. He knew it all. Amen. He was out there working for his God. Amen. In the wrong direction. But he got slayed under the power of the Holy Ghost. He went down one man and came up another man. Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
He went down one way, came up another way. Some of you people trying to work through your stuff, what you need the Holy Ghost to knock you out.
Hallelujah.
Yes, it's the truth.
Amen.
That's the truth. There are certain things that only the Holy Ghost can do. So he put him out under the power of the Holy Ghost and he did it. All right, Acts chapter 26, 14. It said there are two cases when Paul was talking about this. In one case, he said that he went out under the power of the Holy Ghost and God spoke with him, right? But here in Acts chapter 26, 14, he's telling the story. Why did Paul go out under the Holy Ghost? Because Jesus had his number on Paul. God wanted to fix some things in Paul. But notice here in Acts chapter 26, verse 14, it says, we all fell out onto the ground. And I heard a voice saying in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Well, do you know that sometimes the Holy Ghost will be on an individual so strong, you'll go out under the power for their stuff? Do you know if I'm close enough to Jerry and God wants to knock Jerry? Amen. God starts to deal with Jerry. The power of God has the ability to put me out with him. Somebody say, well, what did you get? Absolutely nothing. It was for Jerry. Amen. But the power was still the power.
Hallelujah.
Do you know the true Holy Ghost? That's why we say sit together. That's why somebody got to watch what you sit by. Because the glory of God and the Spirit of God goes from heart to heart,
hallelujah,
breast to breast. Somebody say amen. You can get in a hot spot or a real cold spot. Hey, man, you can get in a glory spot or a black hole. Amen. So the power of God will hit one person and you get to experience that. There are certain people you see, man, you get around them, you're guaranteed to get blessed. There are some that are just spiritual, natural, spiritual wet blankets. Amen. But leave them out there. They'll dry out a little bit. They'll dry out. Amen. So notice that the other ones that fell out, they didn't get anything but knocked on the floor. So sometimes you'll go out under the power and you'll get nothing. That's all right. Somebody say amen. But everybody should go down every now and then. Three kinds. Of prostrations. Someone say three kinds of slaying power. One, voluntary prostration. In Luke chapter 17, verse 16, you can find this. This is when we fall on our knees and on our faces before God in worship. There's a position that we've got to learn. When you're dealing with God and you're dealing with a royal person, every once in a while you're going to bow down. There's a voluntary time when you need to get before your face and lay down before the Lord in prayer. Amen.
Yes.
Humble yourself before God.
Hallelujah.
Some people are wondering why they can't be exalted. Amen. Why they can't get out of the rut? Because they won't humble themselves. And some people are wondering why they can't humble themselves because they won't humble themselves in prayer. We get to praying. There's a type of voluntary prostration that you should learn. Amen. Jesus did it. Paul prayed that way. Shouldn't you?
Yes.
Every once in a while?
No.
Find it in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees. What did he say that he did with his knees? I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Every once in a while, people think it's not, that's for the Catholics. That's old school. Bow your knees. Bow your knees.
Yes.
Bow your knees in prayer. You got some situation. Get on your face before the Lord in prayer. Get on your face. I mean, lay down and pray in the Holy Ghost. Bow yourself before the God in prayer. That's a voluntary thing. It's voluntary to humble yourself before God in prayer. Practice that. Everybody wants Paul's blessings, but nobody wants Paul's lifestyle.
Bless them, Muhuvrikiti. Bring it down a little bit. Sebra shikamaha.
I mean, I'm just talking about putting your body out under. Somebody say voluntary. Prostration. We do this when we pray, when we worship, when we intercede, and when we give thanks. At times during the worship service, I'll see one or two. Amen. During the worship service, amen. Worshiping the Lord. Voluntarily, all of a sudden, we'd be singing a song. Next time you see me, you say, well, where'd they go? Amen. And you look down on the floor, and they're right there kneeling with arms outstretched to God, bowing down. That's a form of worship. Humble yourself before your Lord, your God, and you will be exalted. He's worthy to be praised. When they said he is worthy to be praised, listen, he's worthy for us to bow down before him. Glory to God.
Glory.
Worthy to be worshipped. Bow yourself. If I could just make it in the door. If I could just make it. Some of you got some situations going on. Nobody knows but you what you're dealing with. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Nobody knows what you're going through. Nobody knows what you're handling. Amen. This is the house of God. This is the place where you come to worship God. Don't worry about what anybody says about you. Get on your face before God and get what you need. Amen. There are certain things you can't get by looking around. Amen. You got to get your face to the ground. There's another type of prostration. First one was voluntary. Second one was intercession. My God. It says prostration under a heavy burden of prayer. So he said, I don't ever get a heavy burden of prayer because God can't trust you. Can God trust you with a burden? Woo! Can God trust you with a yoke? There is the second type of prostration where there are sometimes you voluntarily do it, but there are sometimes when you're in the realm of the Spirit, God will say, hey, I'm going to give them a burden of prayer, and the weight of that intercession and the weight of that prayer in and of itself will knock you to your knees in prayer. Jesus did it in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
My God. I mean, we can barely get people to put the fork down to say grace. And here's God himself fell on his face to pray. We got to get our stuff together. And learn to reverence the Holy Ghost. There are certain times when things are happening. Say, shut up. God is moving. There are certain times in the Bible where it said, be still and know that I am God.
Yes.
There's some manifestations where you better not move when God is moving. When God met Moses on the mountain, the people down in the low part had to act a certain way. Amen. Because they said that God was speaking in the mountain. Some of you might be out of condition one day. Coming here in the attitude and somebody might be in a mountain. You might be in a valley spiritually, amen. Somebody will be in the mountain someplace worshiping God, amen. And for the sake of their worship, for the sake of their worship, amen. For the sake of the anointing, amen. Glory to God. For the sake of the voice of God, amen. Be still and know that he's God. I think sometimes the Lord doesn't move in great powers and in great graces to save us. Didn't you know when they carried the Ark of the Covenant, David, and they carried the Ark of the Covenant, it represented the presence of God? And the Ark of the Covenant started to shake a little bit, and somebody just reached out and tried to catch it?
Well, nice little idea. But he died. You can't do everything you want to do, everything that comes to the top of your head when the Holy Ghost is really in manifestation. Oh, we don't want to hear that. That's why they send you to electrician school before you go wiring up houses. Amen. There are a whole lot of people trying to conjure up all kinds of strange fires and strange anointings. Fire, wildfire, and all this other stuff. So he fell on his face in prayer. There is a travail of the Spirit. Go there. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Then we'll go on to the last one. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. How many want to be slain? Well, we gave you two reasons. You want the third, but you can't, amen, you can't get on your face to pray. You can't kneel, but you want to be slain. Well, start to pray until you develop a burden that puts you on your knees. There are a lot of people that just sit on their butt all day long. Amen. Be a nice relief. Pick up a burden of prayer. Amen. You can do something. You can pray. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. When you get it, say, I got it. Hey, mama, you sticky. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, you get faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we're talking things of the Holy Ghost to develop your faith so that we can start to experience these things. What did we say, 4:19? My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So Paul had picked up that same anointing and that same grace that Jesus had in Gethsemane for these little children. Amen. Amen. Somebody prayed you through. You think you figured this stuff out all by yourself, but you're sitting in that seat today because somebody prayed you in there. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the truth. You just didn't come to your senses. Amen. When you were stuck out of your way and out of your mind, somebody was praying in the Holy Ghost for you. Amen. Amen. You would have been doing the other way, but somebody called in Jesus. Somebody knew your name. Somebody say, who knows me? Ain't nobody I know charismatic. Somebody was praying in tongues for you. Amen. There's a birthing in the Spirit. Amen. If you want to see some people grow up, you got to have some people that are willing to submit to the travail of the Holy Ghost. Somewhere, someplace, God. The Bible says Jesus is ever before the Father interceding for the saints. Right? Doesn't the Bible say that? It said Jesus is ever before the Father interceding for the saints. Don't you know when we're praying in the Holy Ghost, is Jesus in us doing the prayer? That's where he's praying. Hallelujah. Somebody say, why do you pray in the Holy Ghost? Jesus doesn't stop praying. Amen. He wants to use you. Don't you know that Christ is seated within your heart? Yeah. That's what praying the Holy Ghost is all about. Jesus is taking care of business. It's not a game. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. We're getting there. Last but not least, being overwhelmed by the presence of God. There is a slaying power just because we're overwhelmed with the presence of God. The kind of prostration which is our subject is beyond the first two. It is being overwhelmed with God's divine presence. We're going to look at those real quick. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28. Why are we teaching these things? Because nobody else is. Amen. We could see these precious things that God give us just dwindle away. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, when Ezekiel saw the glory of God, everybody saying, I see the glory. What you still sitting on your seat for? Ezekiel was a mighty prophet. He wrote things and they put it in the Bible. And we got people today that see Jesus sitting on their dresser. Amen. Jesus talking to them from the shower. Amen. I mean, in between their conversation, they're chatting to one another in church. Jesus didn't give them a big prophecy. And here is Ezekiel that saw the glory of God, and when he saw it, I fell upon my face. Yes. I fell upon my face. Glory to God. That's Ezekiel that talked about all this stuff. He said, it's like fire. Amen. Shut up inside my bones.
The sight of the glory of God caused him to fall upon his face. He said, I fell upon my face and I heard a voice. I heard the voice of one that spake. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me.
Glory to God.
My. And he set me upon my feet.
Now that's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Did you ever hear about that? Then this boy got knocked out by the Holy Ghost, then put back up on his feet. I mean, God told him to get back on his feet after he knocked him off his feet. He was moving too slow. Then the Holy Ghost picked him up and put him back on his feet again. How'd you like to be put down and put back up again?
Glory to God.
Woo, hallelujah.
There's a time to go down, but there's also a time to get up. I mean, you see stuff now, amen. I've seen people, there's a time to go out under the power, but there's a time that the Holy Ghost says, get up. Did you know there's also a rising in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
So the Spirit of God put him down and then got him back up again. And I heard him that spake unto me. Also, in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. All we can do is teach these things and leave the rest up to God. Hallelujah. All we have is Jesus. All we have is God. Why not get the most out of it that we can? 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. And it came even to pass that as the trumpeters and the singers were as one. See, there's something that we need to learn about the Holy Ghost right there. There's something that we have to learn about the Holy Ghost. And I know the Holy Ghost. Some of the times the manifestation of the Holy Ghost doesn't come, amen, because people can't get as one.
Amen.
I've been under the anointing of the Holy Ghost at times, and I could feel like a leak, like somebody then shot bullets through me and just the anointing just dwindling to a certain level when it should be at a higher grade. And I'll look around and find, oh, there it is right there. Short circuit right there. When people don't reverence the Holy Ghost is moving. Other people playing games, stuff like that. Don't you know you short out the glory of God?
All right.
When you get with one accord and everybody has that same mindset, that's why we title these meetings. I'm glad that people said, hey, Friday nights are Holy Ghost meetings. Amen.
Right.
Friday nights are Holy Ghost meetings because that's what we agree on, to see the demonstration of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen. You get in sync with that so God can move. Amen. Somebody say, get in the way or out of the way. That is the truth. When people see, someone say, oh, he is just so picky and so crazy. No, it's the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Glory.
People say, why is he like that? You know, I'll just see things. I'm trying to be just as decent as I can, but if I let you know what was going on in my spirit, I'd say, shut up! Somebody's life is at stake. Really? Because the anointing of God comes to do some things. Amen? And you don't understand, you know? It's just not nobody up here showing off. It's God wanting to change some things in some people. Amen. The anointing's there to accomplish something. Amen. Reverence that. The anointing of God is real. Amen. Thank God for it. So it said, amen, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. And it even came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. My Lord, isn't that wonderful? That the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that, wouldn't you? Amen. That the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. That means they couldn't stand to minister. That means that everybody in the place couldn't stand up. The power of God was so strong they kept falling out under the power of God.
Glory.
How many of you have ever seen that, to where people couldn't stand in the room? I mean, they were trying to go on with the service, but they just kept falling under the power of God. Well, I'm waiting for that kind of anointing to happen. Amen. Somebody say amen. We can't just go on with regular routine because people are out under the power of God. Amen. God can do it. If you let them do it. The Shekinah glory, that is what you call the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah of glory came in a cloud and filled the temple. The Bible says in the Old Testament, this is what we need to learn. So often we shouldn't be looking in the Bible and say, boy, I wish that could happen again, but so often we do.
and we settle for that. We just settle for, man, if that would happen again, I'd be so happy. And I'm like that because we don't see a lot of stuff today. We don't get to experience a lot of stuff. But the Bible says that the Old Testament is only a foreshadow of greater things to come. And if they had that back then, what can we have today? We've got a greater glory. Amen. That was just a cloud of glory. We have the Holy Ghost himself abiding on the inside of us. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Thank God for the glory of God. So you can feel the manifestations, and sometimes you can see it. Amen. Brother Hagin prophesied something. May I read your prophecy as we close? I think this is very powerful. Mighty, 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 mighty man of God. Who shall I root to see me to hit you high? Oh, glory, pour us out, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, there will be a revival in this area of physical phenomena in these days in which we are living. We are in the edge of it now. Some say, well, it's all over. You might as well dig a hole and get in it. The devil's going to take over. They say that. Don't you believe a word of it. God's power shall come into manifestation in this hour. His glory shall be revealed as never before, and men shall see his glory. They shall behold his power. I'm going to take you into my power. You've only touched the outside realm, just the edge. This is the Holy Ghost prophesying, okay? A few men stepped a little further and momentarily had a manifestation of divine power in their ministries. Even the dead on many occasions have been raised, and great miracles of healings have happened. But no man has ever stepped into that realm to abide and minister. I'm preparing a group in this day who without fear and in faith will step out of the natural. Somebody should say, I'm a part of that group. They will step out beyond human mentality. Step out beyond their physical senses. Step over into the realm of faith. Step into the realm of power and glory. And my glory, saith the Lord, shall be manifest unto thee. And many who will doubt, I'll even visit them. And the visible cloud of the glory shall even come into visible contact with them. And they shall say, surely the Lord is at work. Do you know where that prophecy came about years ago? Do you know where this prophecy came about? You know where this prophecy was spoken? In Houston, Texas. The prophecy about the manifestation of the glory of God and the cloud of glory of God was prophesied over Houston, Texas. Somebody say, I'm at the right time, at the right place, to do the right thing. Stand up and just start to pray in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Well, you've heard the word of God, then go on and believe God and do something with it. The power of God, the power of God, the glory of God. We need your glory, Lord. We live for your glory. We live for your presence, oh Lord. We live for your glory. We live for your presence. We need you, Jesus. Come, sweet wind of the Holy Ghost. Send the cloud of glory, God. Deeper manifestation, deeper revelation, Father God. Move in the midst of your people, God. We live to see you move. God, we don't want the ordinary. God, we want the extraordinary. We want this supernatural realm that your spirit has spoken about. Do it in our midst, oh God. Exalt yourself. Send the glory, send the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. London to Ustibri, he's thinking of that testimony. Bring it in a Ustaba Homer, he's thinking. Labra Tasso Homer, he's thinking of that. Labra Tasso Homer, he's thinking of that. Labra Tasso Homer, he's thinking of that. Labra Tasso Homer, he's thinking of that.